Welcome to the Dr. John Day Show, a cardiologist's guide to real food, real living, and real happiness. Are you struggling with losing weight, fatigue, depression, or conditions that have you on medications? Is your health good, but heart disease or cancer run in your family? Most medical conditions are reversible or preventable. There is a better way to live. Let Dr. Day help you to feel younger today.
Hi, this is Dr. John Day, and welcome to the Dr. John Day Show. Our topic today is, should I eat fish? Before we jump in, really quickly, the usual. Number one, on this program, I do not share any medical advice. This is just general information. Number two, listening to this does not create a doctor-patient relationship. And number three, do not self-diagnose or treat based on anything that you hear on this program. So let's jump in with the question, should I eat fish? Well, my question to you is, do you like fish? Based on its profound health benefits, you may decide to become a fish lover if you're not one already. If you eat at least 2 servings of fish per week, studies suggest that you can extend your life by 2.2 years. Not only will you live longer, but fish will also decrease your risk of heart disease by 36%, help to prevent dementia, lower your triglycerides, and lower your blood pressure. In this podcast, I will discuss the health benefits of eating fish and answer the question, should I eat fish? So, everybody loves a good fish story, so let me share mine with you. I did not always like fish. In fact, I hated fish until this past year. I hated the smell, the texture, the taste. Now, at the age of 47, I can say publicly for the first time that I do like fish. It almost sounds like that story I read my kids, Green Eggs and Ham. I do like it. I do like it. I am not really sure how I finally came to like the taste of fish. As I became increasingly convinced of the health benefits of fish, I forced myself to start eating it. Slowly, over time, I began to enjoy the taste. Now I love my wild Alaskan salmon. Indeed, it has been scientifically proven that people can learn to like foods they previously hated. This was certainly the case with me. So, I mentioned that you can live 2.2 years longer by eating fish. Let's jump into the study as to how they came up with these results. And so the question is, can eating oily fish really allow you to live longer? The answer is yes, according to a recent study by my friend, Dr. Darish Mozafarian at Harvard University. I should mention that Darish and I did our residency training together many years ago at Stanford University in the 1990s. In his study of 2,692 people followed for 16 years, he found that the highest oily fish eaters not only lived 2.2 years longer, but also had 40% lower risk of dying from heart disease, 47% lower risk of dying from a stroke, and a 45% lower risk of dying from an arrhythmia. It sounds great. Well, he concluded in an interview about this study that the minimum amount of oily fish needed to get these benefits, which they saw in the study, works out to be about 2 servings per week. If a lifelong fish hater like me can learn to like fish at the age of 47, then this is something that we can all learn to like as well. So, what are the fish recommendations of the American Heart Association? Based on the very strong scientific data supporting fish in our diets, the American Heart Association recommends that we eat at least 2 servings of fish each week, preferably an oily fish high in the omega-3 fatty acids. Despite these recommendations, less than 1 in 5 Americans follow these guidelines. Even scarier is that about half of us really don't eat fish at all. Well, one question that I'm often asked is, can I get all of my omega-3s from nuts and seeds? Not all omega-3 fatty acids are created equal. The omega-3 fatty acids found in walnuts, chia seeds, hemp seeds, flax seeds, these are all the short-chain omega-3s, or ALA. The omega-3s in fish are the long-chain omega-3 fatty acids, which are also known as EPA and DHA. EPA and DHA have the best track record for long-term health benefits. While the body can convert some of the shorter-chain omega-3s from walnuts, chia seeds, hemp seeds, and flax seeds to EPA and DHA, unfortunately, most of us will be lacking these critical omega-3s unless we eat fish. Our body just can't convert enough of the ALA from plant-based omega-3s to the longer chain EPA and DHA. For vegetarians, you can get your DHA and EPA, or the long chain fatty acids, from where the fish do, namely marine algae. So why do so many people avoid fish? I suspect that the media's hyped fear of mercury, dioxins, and PCBs in fish has frightened so many people from eating this incredibly healthy heart food. Fish is a healing food. It heals our heart and it heals our brain. Unfortunately, these industrial pollutants have made their way into our food supply, including fish. However, as long as you are eating the right fish in the right amount, you don't need to worry about mercury, PCBs, or dioxins. Let me explain. So let's jump into mercury and fish. Unfortunately, the fish available to us today is not the same fish that was available to our ancestors. Today, we have to worry about mercury toxicity with fish. While the media would have us to believe that any fish will poison us with mercury, that is absolutely not the case. Many of my patients are afraid to eat fish based on all of these media reports. Yes, it is true that some fish are high in mercury. However, many healthy oily fish, which are high in the protective omega-3s, are also very low in mercury. In general, the smaller the fish, the lower the mercury content. Some of the fish which are very high in omega-3s and yet very low in mercury include the following. So these are the high omega-3, low mercury fish. Let me run down the list. Wild Alaskan salmon, yay! The Atlantic mackerel, sardines, anchovies, trout, oyster, and herring. And I'll repeat it one more time. Once again, these are the high omega-3s, low mercury fish. Wild Alaskan salmon, Atlantic mackerel, sardines, anchovies, trout, oyster, and herring. Let me jump into something that a lot of you may not have heard of, and that is that selenium prevents mercury toxicity. While the media has done a good job of scaring us away from fish due to the mercury risks, what they don't tell us is that selenium binds mercury and gets it out of our body. Fortunately, many fish are also very high in selenium, so any potential mercury risks in these fish is extremely low. Previous studies showing harm from mercury in fish were done with shark or pilot whale meat, which are very low in selenium. For example, just one serving of salmon, sardines, tuna, or shrimp nearly give you all of the selenium you need for the day, as the right amount of selenium in your diet has been shown to help protect against cancer and heart disease. To make sure you are getting enough, just one Brazil nut will give you all the selenium your body needs for the day. Work closely with your doctor if you are taking a selenium supplement, as selenium supplements have been shown to cause harm. Like in everything, I recommend getting all of the nutrients your body needs from real whole foods. So, PCBs and dioxins in fish. Once again, the media would scare us from eating fish due to the risks of PCBs and dioxins. While we should be frightened of PCBs and dioxins from industrial pollution, fish is not where we get most of these carcinogens. For example, according to a recent Harvard University report, more than 90% of the PCBs and dioxins that we are exposed to come primarily from animal meat, dairy, eggs, and to a much lesser degree, fortunately, from vegetables. Thus, if you are really frightened of PCBs and dioxins in your diet, then you should also limit your intake of animal meat, dairy, and eggs. This Harvard University report also states that if 100,000 people ate farmed salmon, now farmed salmon has 16 times more PCBs and dioxins in comparison to wild salmon. And so if, once again, going back, if 100,000 people ate farmed salmon for 70 years, this Harvard University report estimates that it would cause 24 deaths from cancer. However, eating this same farmed salmon over this same period of time would also prevent 7,000 people from dying of heart disease. For me, I want the best of both worlds. I want all the protection salmon has to offer without the risk of cancer. This is why I choose wild Alaskan salmon, which is 16 times lower in these contaminants, according to the Environmental Working Group, and, just to make sure, I eat one Brazil nut every day. So can I just take fish oil instead of eating fish? Well, perhaps this is because you don't like the taste of fish, or that it is just a lot easier to take a pill. Unfortunately, when it comes to health, it doesn't work that way. Many vitamins and supplements, including vitamin C, vitamin E, beta-carotene, folic acid, estrogen, and testosterone, have all been linked to heart disease or cancer. Fish oil is no exception. Even fish oil, with its healthy halo effect, has been linked to prostate cancer. It is a combination of everything in healthy fish that provides us with the health benefits, not just a concentrated form of the omega-3s. Nutrition is so much more than just isolated and concentrated compounds. If you don't like the taste of fish, it has been scientifically shown that you can retrain your brain to like healthy foods. I know that this was definitely the case with me. So I'd like to cover now the nutritional benefits of my favorite fish. It was probably knowing all of the good things I was feeding my body that allowed me to start liking wild Alaskan salmon. Here are some of the amazing health benefits you get from just 1 4-ounce serving of this salmon, according to the World's Healthiest Foods website. Now, a 4-ounce serving, that's very small. That's about, that'll fit in the palm of your hand. Even better, all of these nutrients come with only 158 calories. So wild Alaskan salmon is packed with nutrients, very low in calories. What can you get from just one small serving of wild Alaskan salmon? You get 236% of the vitamin B12 that you need for the day, 128% of the vitamin D that you need for the day, 78% of the selenium you need for the day. So all that selenium in the fish also helps to protect against the mercury toxicities by binding up the mercury, as we've already discussed. You get 56% of the vitamin B3 that you need. You get 55% of the omega-3s you need. And you get 53% of the proteins that you need. So enjoy it. Wow, what a very healthy fish. And I think knowing all of this is what helped me to retrain my brain to like fish. So as we move now toward the end of our podcast, let me share with you my personal fish rules. While my diet is primarily plant-based, I love vegetables, I eat vegetables at all meals, I do eat healthy fish at least twice weekly because of the very compelling health benefits, and also now because I like the taste. It did take 2 years of forcing myself to eat fish every week before I finally started liking the taste. Here are my personal guidelines to eating fish. There are 5 of them. Number 1, I eat fish at least twice weekly. Sometimes it's 3 times a week, but usually it's about twice a week. Number 2, I focus on oily fish with the omega-3s. As you've heard me say over and over again, I love my wild Alaskan salmon. Number 3, avoid the fish high in mercury, dioxins, and PCBs. Number 4, get the right amount of dietary selenium to bind up the mercury and help to prevent any potential toxicities there. Number 5, I avoid fish oil supplements due to the link to prostate cancer. Now, for those of you who may be on a budget, I like buying my wild Alaskan salmon frozen at Costco. It's very cheap, and that's primarily where I buy my fish. So that can be a great option if you want the highest quality in fish, but at a very affordable price. So to get back to our original question, should I eat fish? My answer would be yes, given the many health benefits of fish. And so my question is, have you always liked fish, or did you learn to like it just like I did? Do you have a favorite fish? Please go onto my website at drjohnday.com and let me know. Thank you so much for tuning in. Please share this podcast with your friends and family.
Thank you for listening to the Dr. John Day Show. Now is the time for you to live better. Go to drjohnday.com to sign up for Dr. Day's newsletter, daily success tools, and more. It's never too late to change.